You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Weddings can be wonderful gatherings of friends and family to celebrate the happy couple. They can also be filled with sticky social situations for both the guests and that happy couple. With the summer wedding season just getting underway, we have asked New York Times Social Cues columnist Philip Galanis to join us to share his advice on how to avoid matrimonial meltdowns. And if you have a question for Philip, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Philip, welcome back to our show.
Thank you, Leonard. Happy to be here.
And we've gotten a lot of response from our listeners.
I know.
I gather you've been getting a lot as well.
Hundreds. Starting in late March, and straight through the summer.
So let's start with preparing for the big day. Can you say no to a friend who asked you to be in the bridal party?
You know, the great thing that I learned, courtesy of Daniel Day-Lewis, is that Lincoln, in fact, freed the slaves. So we can say no to all kinds of things.
But is the reason you're saying no important? You don't want to say that, well, I love you very much, but I just dislike your fiancé.
Or no, I don't think there's there are two things you never, no matter how sweet, and if you could have all
why
of
you
listener,
marrying this person?
If you listeners could have seen the very, very sweet face Leonard made when he said, "I love you, but I think your fiancé is just a real jerk." You can never say that, and you can never say any that you didn't like their gift, even under any circumstances. But I think that there are all kinds of, we make up all kinds of polite lies to get through our day. And goodness knows that there's a great ways to get out of doing something all day Saturday.
Yeah. I'm scheduled to have
a bypass.
What if you feel like you've been overlooked as a member of the wedding party? Do you just have to suck it up, or should you say something?
Well, that's where I would say I get a lot more of those questions. If you made a Venn diagrams of what we think people's weddings should be and what they think people's weddings should be, they rarely overlap. And you know what's really lucky about that? It's their wedding, so it doesn't need to overlap. So if we are not in the wedding party, it's not a personal slight, really. It's that they had to choose three people, so you weren't in the top three people. You'll go on and live a very happy life, is my prediction.
Well, this leads me to one of the questions that a listener has written in. Beth asks, "My son is getting married, and we're co-hosting the wedding with the bride's parents. Since I've never referred to myself in print or otherwise as Mrs. Insert Husband's Name here, we have requested that our first and last names appear on the invitation. This request has been met with much opposition from the bride, even though her parents like the idea as well. Since it's the hosts who actually invite the guests, shouldn't their names appear the way they would like them? FYI, we have fairly commonplace names, in case you were wondering." So is this a question of who the wedding's about, whether it's about the happy couple or the friends and family?
Absolutely. And I think in this particular case, and there's a real issue there too, Leonard, which is about the checkbook. The mother-in-law is clearly saying that I'm paying. And so what does she get for her money? I say my personal impulse, but I'm a pushover maybe, is to defer to the bridal couple wherever possible. But if it is truly going to ruin this mother-in-law's day not to be listed the way she wants to be listed, then go to war.
But if a lot of people,
and that's
just
what it is, though, going to war.
A lot of women just retain their maiden names after they get married, and that's the only way they're known. If I get an invitation from Mrs. Shirley Jones when I only know her as Shirley Smith, I might even be a bit confused.
Oh, well, that's a great point, which I hadn't thought of. I mean, I think that these are arguments you can make to the bride. And again, if this is the issue that is really going to send the mother-in-law over the edge, that her friends might not recognize the invitation as coming from her, then she should go for it. But she should recognize that people get very strange where we get very few big days in our lives. We get a bar mitzvah, we get a wedding day, and we get a funeral. And so I say, wherever possible, do not interfere with somebody's idea of their own big day.
And we get to control two of those three. We have a call from Dan from Brewster, New York. Hi, Dan. You're on the air. Dan?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So I was getting married. I'm getting married in August, and we originally planned on having a backyard wedding. Now, through probably a week of planning this, we found out that a backyard wedding is not a simple plan of just, you know, a cheap wedding. It actually is a lot cheaper to actually go to a venue and have it completely, you know, planned by them. And I was wondering, what's a way to kind of do this in a cheap way? How do we calm the monster of spending for the wedding?
It's a great question. And here's a question back for you, Dan. How many of the 200 people that you're inviting to your wedding do you think really want to come? How many? I mean, 20, 30, tops? I'd pay money not to go to weddings that I'm invited to. So,
especially if you have to travel across the country.
Especially if I have to travel. So why not? You know the best way to bring the cost down? Just bring the guest list down to as small as you can. People are delighted to watch you have a short ceremony, be given a glass of champagne, a couple of appetizers, and then be free to go watch a really great movie on their DVD, you know, in air conditioning, at home, alone, without you. What do you think of that?
I think that's very correct, but I still think that...
You're having a wedding for 200 people.
No. I was originally planning for 50, but it turned out to be more expensive than a wedding for 200 people in a venue.
Really? I wonder why that is. Why is it so expensive?
You mean renting a tent and things like that?
Exactly. You're basically setting up a venue for yourself. I mean, you have to think about
the glasses
everyone in
and
yourself. You have to think about cleanup and everything like that.
But I first of all, I commend you for on a wedding for 50. And I guess Leonard and I will have to go to those super Freakonomics people, and we'll try to get back to you and very quickly, and certainly before August.
Our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter. And Julie from Long Island has written in, many of our guests did not make our wedding due to the hurricane. Should they have sent us a gift?
You're
speechless.
I'm a little bit speechless. And this is one of the biggest disconnects I have about weddings.
Gifts are so important.
Is the way that the gift has become like an invoiced item for a lawyer, like you spent 2 hours in a lawyer's office and you're going to get a bill for $500. You got an invoice to a wedding, and so you're going to send a certain gift. I think if these people sent you some kind of acknowledgement that they were happy for your wedding and that happy and wished you well, and that they didn't come, I don't know really is. I understand that you may have given them a gift in the past, and so that creates a sense that they were perhaps entitled, you were entitled to something. But I'd say wherever possible, let this idea of the gift go. A gift is not something you should expect. If it arrives at your door, wonderful. If it doesn't, move on.
Well, gifts have inspired a lot of people to write in. Kristen left this one on our show page. When the invite says, please, no gifts, we just want your company, does that...
And other
really,
lies.
Does that really mean no gifts? I'm inclined to take them at their word, but I've heard whispers from the bridal party that they're still accepting gifts.
Well, they may still be accepting gifts because it would be rude to throw them away, but I think when people say, please, no gifts, that's a wonderful thing. Now, in a weird etiquette way, any mention of a gift on an invitation or anything is allegedly and historically a terrible no-no. But I think the please no gift is a terrific thing. Many people, especially as we get married older, as we get married more times, as we live with people longer, we don't need the gift, and we're really saying to you when we have our weddings, come and share this afternoon with us. Please, no gift. I take them absolutely at their word.
How soon after the wedding should we expect to receive a personal thank you note for our gift? Because sometimes they never arrive. Sometimes they arrive many months later.
Right. A thank you note should be written as quickly as possible.
Well, there's now, the honeymoon, and then there are some other things.
Right, there's a honeymoon and some other things.
A month or so.
But certainly within a couple of months, absolutely.
And Rhoda on the Upper West Side asks, no one would send a birthday gift 6 months late. Where did the idea that sending a wedding present up to a year after the marriage become acceptable?
That's a very interesting point. It may have, again, to do with... a lot of these rules were codified when we lived very differently. People used to get married and then go away for a year-long honeymoon. So, you know, maybe that's where it all came from. I don't know the historical answer, but I agree. Much easier for everyone if you're going to bring a gift just to bring it to the wedding.
What about bringing an ex? A listener in Brooklyn left this question on our show page. My understanding is that exes are generally not invited to the wedding because it creates an awkward social situation for the guests, especially family. What do we say to my fiance's ex who wants to be invited with her new boyfriend, even though she informs us in advance that she will politely decline the invitation?
So if with her it's a matter of pride that maybe that she ended the relationship with the ex so well that she was invited to the wedding. I mean, it seems like a win-win situation if you preserve a relationship and she's saying she's not coming. Why not send her an invitation?
Uh-huh. But then if she shows up, then it's a sticky situation.
I guess it's a sticky situation. In my family, nobody would care if an ex of mine came to my wedding. So I don't understand, I guess, the premise of the question. But if someone's saying, I promise I won't come, just send me an invitation, it sounds like, you know, send.
Let's go to another call. Danielle from South Orange, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is this. My mom got remarried when I was an adult in my mid-20s, and now my stepbrother, who I've probably spent time around 4 or 5 times, is getting married, and they're getting married in Boston, which will require me having to travel up there. I was hoping that I wouldn't be invited, but my stepfather went out of his way to ask my stepbrother to invite us. So is there any way that I can get out of going? I'm out of work, and I just don't really want to go anyway. It's going to be kind of a pain in the butt to go.
Do you know so
I want to read something somebody wrote in that ties in with this.
Okay.
Lauren asked this question on our show page. When most friends of parents and family are traveling long distance for a wedding, what's the proper etiquette on how much of out-of-towners should be entertained, actually, in this case, outside the wedding? We're New Yorkers, and most of our friends and family are coming from the East Coast. Our daughter lives in San Francisco and is getting married there. And then there's the problem that Danielle faces. Often, all of our high school or college friends start getting married after they have moved away, and you find yourself having to make a lot of trips, it can get quite expensive.
Well, you make a lot of choices. And for Danielle, I would suggest that you write an incredibly warm note, both to your stepbrother, and even more so to your stepfather, because it sounds like, you know, the stepbrother was probably as interested in inviting you as you were interested in being invited. But as an accommodation to this man that you both feel some affection for, write him a really sweet note and write the brother a really sweet note. And I seem to have gotten on my BlackBerry right now, Danielle, an invitation from your best friend from college who is also getting married that very same weekend. And so you're not going to be able to go. I'm so sorry. Can you do that?
I have a story about something else I have to do?
Yeah, cook up another story. But you've also thanked them for the invitation.
The important thing is to be gracious in all of this.
Really gracious.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you.
That other problem is a much, much bigger problem, because I think when you are the host, when I am the host, I feel a lot of responsibility to entertain people. And I think that it's a great thing to make sure that your guests know that everything that you're setting up is 100% optional, that we're going to San Francisco MoCA on this afternoon, and we've arranged for a tour, we've arranged this dinner, we've arranged that, and your participation is 100% up to you, because they're already making a very big sacrifice in flying across the country to get there. So make sure they have things to do, but make sure they don't feel any pressure to have to do them.
My guest is Philip Galanis, who is the New York Times Social Cues columnist. You can read him every Sunday. And he visits us on a pretty regular basis. Today we're talking about weddings because we're already into the month of June. We are back with Philip Galanis, who writes the Social Cues column for the New York Times, and we are talking about weddings in June and taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org, or you can also write us on Facebook and Twitter. And here's something a listener wrote in. Laura, who's getting married in August, emailed us with this quandary. She says, I have an alcoholic and apparently psychotic aunt. She answered the save the date email with a lengthy rant, offending myself and everyone in my family. It's not the first incident of this kind. She apologized, but of course I don't want her to go. Problem is, she's married to my dad's brother, who's playing it down. I thought she would have the grace of not coming, but she just booked a room. And now we're all scared of her antics. We've got a five-hour open bar, and we've even considered hiring a nurse to keep an eye on her.
Well, that is one option, is to just to enlist some family member or close friend to keep an eye on her. But if this is a person who's going to, it seems like it's not a question of if she's going to disrupt the wedding, but she will, then it seems to me that you have a call with the, I can't remember, Leonard, the relative that she's married to that they feel strongly about, but whoever that relative is, give that person a call and say that we're really concerned, and we don't think it's the best idea to include her.
She's married to the woman's uncle.
Her father's brother. Well, then, yeah, call your uncle and say, call your father's uncle and say that we're really concerned. Can you be on top of this, or should we simply not invite you?
Now, you have received a whole bunch of things that all seem really interesting and relevant.
Yeah. When I posted that I was coming on the show, Leonard, people really got thick with the wedding questions because they're all getting married now and they've all got problems right now.
Well, part of the problem seems to be the internet. A lot of people are concerned. Well, for example, somebody complained about getting an Evite and thought that was rather tacky. Somebody else had their thank you for a wedding gift posted on their Facebook page.
Yeah, absolutely. Those things are very interesting. But, I mean, a lot of it depends on the party that we're talking about. Now, remember that guy who was calling who said he'd love to have his wedding in a backyard under a tent? And to me, if he was really one of the things that he could, you know, if he really was just making his wedding into a barbecue, sending an Evite doesn't seem totally out of the question to me. Why would you send an engraved invitation to a barbecue? But I think that, again, we have people's ideas about what somebody else's marriage is supposed to be. And really, it's no skin off our back whether somebody sends us an invitation via Evite or not. And, you know, so let her think it's tacky, and just please don't say anything to the bride or the groom about it, or their mother, above all, about the invitation being tacky, and go on and live your life.
Well,
swim your laps in the pools, run on the treadmill.
I think part of this has to do with a sense of tradition. In earlier times, it was expected to get this engraved invitation.
Absolutely.
My mother used to say, do I have to send you an engraved invitation?
Exactly. To get you home for dinner?
Well, Now, we don't, well, some people still send those engraved invitations, but a lot of people are much more comfortable just doing everything on the internet.
And yeah, especially, I mean, one of the most frequently asked questions I get about weddings goes to thank you notes. And so if we are talking about a generation of people who do not own stamps, then it seems kind of unlikely that they're going to write thank you notes. It's a shame. I think it's a wonderful ritual to buy a thank you note and to write it out and to send it by mail. But I don't think that's where our kids are right now.
Now that almost half this, is it over half the states have same-sex marriage? Has that led to other kinds of problems?
Well, there's, and we're talking, I think it goes to your point about tradition, Leonard. I got a great question that said, that was, my same-sex partner and I are getting married next month, and my parents are treating it like a weekend barbecue. But when my straight sister got married, they acted like it was the royal wedding. How should I handle this? Well, that now we're talking about your parents and their respect for your relationship. So I would say one night when you can be really assure yourself that you are not going to enter screaming, when you can sit down with your mother and father and say, you know, I'm noticing some really pretty big discrepancies. It's not making me feel very good. Could you think about this a little bit, about the way you treated Susie's wedding and the way you're treating mine? It's just as important to me, and I'd like you to enter into that spirit. Maybe they will, or maybe it's going to take the same-sex marriage of your children or your children's children before these particular parents can see that it's the same thing.
My guest is Philip Galanis of the New York Times. He writes a Social Cues column. He also has a book called Social Cues. And we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook. We welcome Facebook notes and Twitter as well. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. You don't have to send us a graved invitation if you want to ask a question of a guest. This is WNYC, WNYC.org, and I'm Leonard Lopate. Let's take a call from Nicole from Queens.
Hold on.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey, hi there. How are you?
We are well.
Thanks for taking my call. Okay, so I have this kerfuffle. My sister, is to whom I'm not very close, is getting married in California, and we are in Queens, and we have a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 19-month-old, and in October we will have a brand-new 4-month-old. Okay, so she wants all the children in the wedding, and in my haste, I said, okay, sure. And now we're sort of rethinking that, thinking we're taking a lot of money out of savings in order to do this wedding, and it's a lot with a lot of kids on an airplane. And I don't know how to backtrack and say, I can't do it. I can't take 4 kids on a cross-country flight for ages 4 and under and then have them perform in your wedding. And I'm not exactly sure what the protocol is for this.
Okay, that's a great question. And I actually
Hear a couple of them in the background.
Exactly. And I think the word kerfuffle is I was a little skeptical, but it turns out you are dead right. This is a kerfuffle. So when is this wedding happening?
This wedding is happening October 6th.
Oh, you've got loads of time. I'm not worried anymore. I'm not worried at all anymore. You're going to call up your sister, and you're going to say to her, you're going to start by telling her how much you love her. And you are going to then the next thing you are going to do is tell her how much this wedding is going to be, is, you know, how excited you are about this wedding. But the fact is that you don't have a spare $20,000 to transport your family across country and back without help. And much as it is going to break your heart to miss it, financial circumstances are just going to require that. And
I'm more than happy to bring myself and the baby, but I don't know how. And I think her response is going to be, well, just don't come then.
Anything she says in anger, because she hasn't had the chance to think about this.
Uh-huh.
Anything she says in anger, let it wash right off of you, because she probably doesn't mean it.
Okay.
And you, if she says something like, well, you don't come at all then, you say, well, you think that over. I'd love to come, and I'd love to bring the baby, because I couldn't leave the baby at home. But if
right.
you want me to stay away, honey, it's your big day. And end with an I love you, hang up the phone, and I hope that you don't have to go at all. Because with four kids, or maybe it actually would be a great vacation
no, actually,
for you.
I'm actually thinking it might be kind of a nice little respite, because I'll just have the four-month-old with me.
Exactly.
So you remind me of
Kathy Black, who got into all that trouble when she went to the parents' group and said what to do about school overcrowding. She said, well, have you people thought about birth control?
Ooh. Or nannies.
Yeah, well, I guess so. People always ask us if we're religious because we had them so close together. And no, we just say we just had a little too much red wine.
Myrtle, Myrtle. Congratulations
Thank
on all
for calling us.
We're delighted. They're a blessing. Thank you so much. I think you confirmed what I myself was going to do, but it's nice to have a professional support behind me.
Terrific.
Thank you. On the other hand, there are a lot of people who don't want you to bring your kids to the wedding.
Oh,
and
yes.
That becomes a problem as well. So it's hard sometimes to find somebody to watch the kids while you're at a wedding, especially if it's going to go late into the night.
And especially as if you have to travel someplace else, that should be, I mean, one of the things that I think we should not be shy about when we're invited is, I mean, I understand that it might not be pleasant for a bride or groom to have a lot of 6-year-olds running around screaming, but one of the things that they can think through is, okay, so who will set up a room? And people who are having to travel across country with their kids can leave their kids in this room, and they'll have some great sitters for them, and toys and events. And
there's also a lot of we got a lot of people writing in about plus ones.
Yeah.
Some people are offended if their invitation doesn't come with a plus one, especially if they've been dating someone for a long time. Some people end up being the plus one at a wedding where they know no one. If you don't have the biggest budget in the world, you have to extend a plus one to every single person
There's
on the list.
There's an old rule, and whenever I handle this in writing, I get a lot of letters from people who believe in this old-time rule that marriage invitations and things like that are just for married couples, and sometimes they let it slide to people who live together. But it causes a lot of tension and anger and hurt feelings. So I'd actually say, if you're having a wedding with a manageable kind of guest list, to think it through couple by couple, whose feelings are going to be hurt. Because I understand the budget issue, certainly. You can't give rubber chicken and terrible, rubbery salmon to the entire city of New York. But if your best friend is going to be really hurt if her boyfriend of 3 months isn't allowed to come, isn't it better just to let him come if you can afford it? And if you can't afford it, to explain to her that as much as you'd love to have him come, you can't afford it.
Christine in Westchester left this comment on our show page. I've too often seen a church with about half the guests attending the real wedding, but then the others who didn't attend the ceremony all show up for the reception. That cannot be the right etiquette. Is it unacceptable to blow up the actual ceremony only to arrive at the party?
Of course it is, but it's wrong to do all. I mean, I haven't noticed that, but I would say that I feel a little surprised that I haven't pulled that myself. But I think maybe it's, people running late. Maybe people are making this conscious decision. If they're making a conscious decision, it's a pretty lousy decision to make.
Now, we have all sorts of other people writing and stuff like, if you don't go to the wedding, do you still have to send a gift? And then somebody else was concerned about the fact that she went to the bridal shower. She said, why do I have to buy a wedding present and a bridal shower gift off the registry? Suddenly, every wedding you have to go to as a woman, if you're a friend of the bride, requires you to buy twice as many gifts as everyone else. I thought showers were supposed to be small, personal gifts specifically for the bride. Now I'm directed to the registry for the shower as well as to the wedding. It's extremely obnoxious, she writes.
I agree. I don't think that you ever have to give a gift. I would really love that to be the big takeaway here. You never have to give a gift. You only have to do what will make you feel good and you think that the bridal couple will enjoy. And people can set up registries with $1 million Fabergé eggs on them, but it doesn't require us to buy them. In other words, you're invited to the bridal shower and you've been directed to the registry, buy your thing for the bridal shower, send it to her, and if it feels like that is as much as you want to do, don't do any more. This is not high school, and this is not, someone is not giving you a cigarette behind the junior high. You don't have to take it. Nothing bad will happen to you.
Christian from Belleville, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Go ahead.
So my brother is getting married this summer, and he invited my sister's in-laws a few months ago. But then something happened, and now he's upset and wants to uninvite them. And I was listening before, and I totally understand it's their special day. You want to make sure they're, doing everything that makes them happy. But can you really uninvite someone to your wedding, especially if they're, related by marriage to your sibling?
Well, I think that's really I mean, we don't know the story. And so I think that that's one of those situations where maybe you or the sibling whose in-laws it is could actually have a word with your brother or sister-in-law to say, or sister-in-law-to-be to say, that's just not cool, because it is not cool to invite someone and then uninvite them. It's
right.
It's pretty lousy.
We have very little time, but I wanted to sneak one more call in. And this is Zaya from New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I have an issue. There was a big family fallout 7 years ago, and now my daughter is getting married, and I do not want to invite two of her uncles. And my daughter, being very polite, says, do you really want to make a scientific experiment out of inviting people who nobody in the family spoke to for 7 years? How do I go around that issue?
Oh, so it sounds like you and your daughter are agreed. You don't want to invite them, and she doesn't want to invite them. Or you do want to invite them.
Yes, that's correct.
You want to invite them.
No,
the daughter does. I think you have to go along with your daughter.
And
maybe this will resolve some of the problems.
Don't you think? Sometimes peace offerings can be the smallest things. Even if they don't come, just being invited can perhaps give them these other people just the push they need to come and make things up with you.
Especially since it's been so many years.
7 years ago is a long time.
Zaya, thank you so much for calling us. And Philip, thank you so much. And thank you, all of you who have called in and written in. And there are so many other problems to be resolved. But
at least
we only had so much time.
We resolved a few, Leonard.
Yeah, I hope we have. And I hope that people have been able to apply them to their own situations, because many of these things are almost classic.
Yeah, they certainly are.
Philip Galanis's articles, Social Cues, appears every Sunday in the New York Times. And I think it's de rigueur reading, at least in my house. The book is published by who?
By Simon & Schuster. And just out in paperback.
Fabulous.
Even cheaper.
Especially if you're thinking of a cheap wedding. A caterer wrote in and said, it's absolutely true. It's cheaper to have it catered than to do it yourself.
And somebody wrote to me and said, the best way to get the price down is not to let the catering hall know that it's a wedding.
Oh, that's a good idea. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.